Welcome to The Power of Stories, a podcast by women, about women, and for women. Their voices and their stories. I am Sharon Catherine D'Agostino, a passionate advocate for the empowerment of women and girls everywhere, and the founder of sayitforward.org.
And I'm Yodit Kifle-Smith, a creative dedicated to making sure the voices and stories of women are heard. I have the privilege of working with Sharon on sayitforward.org to do just that. In this podcast, you will meet courageous women from around the world whose unique path to empowerment will leave you encouraged and inspired. Today, we want to welcome Whitney Dowers. Whitney is a mom of two young boys. She has been a strategic leader throughout her career and is also an entrepreneur. She is joining us today from Toronto, Canada. Thank you so much for being with us today, Whitney.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here with two of my favorite people.
Wow. Well, thank you, Whitney. It's exciting to be talking with you and Yodit at the same time in this podcast. Given the fact that you are a mom with young boys who in normal times would probably be in school and preschool and they're home with you while you are working. This is a challenge that so many moms are facing around the world. How are you making that work?
I don't know if I am making it work. You know, I think that that's something that probably all moms are questioning themselves each day is like, was this the right decision? Am I doing this right? It's a total balance of how do I make sure that the kids are having a great experience, that they're not coming out of this and hating education because it's turned in a way that nobody would ever choose to do education. And then you also wonder, am I showing up, you know, like, am I showing up at work the way that I would want to in my professional career? Am I showing up in my marriage the way that I had planned to the day I said I do? And at the end of the day, it's really about, were you happy at the end of the day? Were the kids happy? Did I check in with myself? Was I in a good mood? If I wasn't in a good mood, then that's where we have to shift. And there are days, like I couldn't say it's perfect. And there's a lot of burnout. And from my perspective, it's just been trying to figure out a way where the kids have a smile on their face sometimes, not all the time. And I have a smile on my face. There's no perfect world right now. It's a struggle.
You mentioned that you believe that most moms, not all moms, are dealing with this. But it's interesting how we can say that, but even sometimes feel like we're alone in what we're feeling. How has that been for you with connecting with other moms or feeling like you're alone in this?
Yeah, I think that's a really important question. I think that a lot of moms are kind of secluding themselves into their space right now. And I've been victim to doing it too, because you're so overwhelmed by the daily schedule, which is so crazy to think, because like where we are, you know, we've been locked down for like 6 months, however long it is. And you think we work from home, school from home, what's the schedule? How are you overwhelmed? But everything just snowballs into one thing. You know, it's like, get everybody ready. Okay, get the computer set up. Try to pep talk the kids into getting excited about virtual learning. And then like next to them, trying to get your notes, do your emails, take your calls. Mommy, I don't understand how to do this. Okay, just 1 minute. Let me get back on this call. Mommy, I need help. How do I do this? So like that schedule is just insane. And then as soon as you're finally done with the virtual school, you're like, oh, get my focus time back. I'm going to do these emails, edit these documents, get them out the door. Workday's done. Okay, I got to cook dinner. Let's get a healthy dinner on the table, because everybody's so focused on our health right now and making sure that we're eating the right things and we're not adding toxins into our body. So you cook your healthy dinner, feed the kids, 4 and a 5-year-old. Oh my God, why are we still sitting at the dinner table an hour later? You know what I mean? Dinner's done. Let's get upstairs. Bath time, bedtime. Get them shoved into bed, back in front of my computer to finish off the work I couldn't do in the middle of the day. And then, you know, where's the time with my husband? So if I could say anything to moms out there, and especially I can't even imagine the single moms out there, I mean, it's crazy. There is no defined schedule, especially because restrictions are lifted and then opened and they change. And as soon as you get the kids used to doing something at home, you send them back. And I really hope mothers are taking this time right now to realize like we're not alone. There have been moms at my kids' school who have become my best friends. We joke right now that my closest friends are my kids' friends' parents, because that's the only people I can see. I can't go and socialize with my own friends, really, and who even has the time to pull away. So when you get a moment to go to school drop-off or school pickup, that's your community. And we're all kind of saying the same thing each day when we show up. It's, oh, how you doing? Oh, you know, living the dream. Somebody's dream. I don't know whose, but living the dream. That's our phrase. So yes, I would definitely say heavily depend on your mom community, because if you've ever needed it, now is the time.
Is there something that you can do when you don't have much time, but when you have just a few moments to yourself?
I've always been somebody who meditated. I think it's really important. But in this last year, I've really dug deep into it. I think part of that was because my mom passed away in July. And so that was like, it was a moment where I had to connect with myself in order to work through that. But it has been something that I have kept with me, and I am pretty rigorous with it. It's very hard with the kids and the schedule, but I write a daily journal, and in my daily journal, there's three things that, you know, what would I do to make today great? And almost always I say I meditated today, because I set that as my intention. And it doesn't always have to be first thing in the morning. Like, that's a great day if it is, but with the kids, that rarely ever happens. But if I can look back, and at the end of the day, when I go through my things, I'm like, okay, what made today amazing? And I look at what was going to make today a great day. And it's I meditated. And if I haven't, I take that time and I go and I sit and I kind of decompress and let the day settle into what it was and let it go. Because if you just keep trucking and keep pushing forward, you're never going to allow your mind to find the space to work through the stress.
Whitney, you mentioned that your mom died less than a year ago. And I know when my mom died in 2019, it was really very hard for me and for our family. Tell us how you made it through and how you dealt with your grief and how you still are dealing with your grief.
So my mom had cancer, and she was diagnosed 2 years before she died. So diagnosed at stage four. So we all knew that it was going to come, and it was going to come relatively fast. So I do feel like we were somewhat prepared for what was to come. We certainly were not prepared for death in a pandemic. And that was a really, really big struggle for us, because it was the terrifying thoughts of, well, do we see her? Do we not see her? And then it got to a point where we absolutely had to see her, because my dad just couldn't do it on his own. And I'm so glad that we did. But I have to say, it's interesting, because of my professional career as a project manager, as an event planner, all I do is project manage. And I think I went into that mode, and it was all about project managing her death, as strange as that sounds. So it was like, okay, we got to get her in out of the hospital. We got to get the nurses in. What does she need? What's the medication she needs? And I don't know if it's just things that were so chaotic, because the kids were home, my husband's shop was closed, and I didn't feel like I had the time to sit and be sad about losing her. I had those moments without a doubt. I cried a lot, you know, there was a lot of this isn't fair and so on. But when you go into project management, it gives you a sense of purpose. And I used her death so much as a learning tool, but like to shape and form the rest of my life. And I think that that's what she would have wanted. Like, she was absolutely not the kind of person that would have wanted people to be sad and upset and losing their way. And as we were losing her, my husband and I took a lot of time to evaluate, what does this mean for us? What are we going to learn from this? We took a lot of financial tips. We sat down, we looked at the budget. We said, really, what is important? What did she do in her life that was important to her, that she invested in? What did she not get to do that she missed out that we would want to do? So we really looked at that, and our health. I mean, 100%, we did a huge revamp in what are we putting into our body? Like, what are we eating? What's the source it's coming from? And we really connected in knowing our food, knowing our farmers. I mean, as a result, we are now connected in this really cool organic farm share. And I'm so excited to participate this summer. Certainly, we never did. And the pandemic allowed that, because it's given you the space to take time to reflect. And so I kind of feel like all of our future successes will be a result of what we learned from losing her. And that she will love, you know, like it's full circle, I guess. It's awful to lose your mother. It's extremely hard. Each time the holidays come, very hard. But I kind of find solace in cooking her recipes. That's what I've found has been really helpful. Whenever we get to a holiday that I'm feeling kind of weird about, I'll pull out one of her old recipes and make it. And it's like, she's here.
Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, we've kind of been on this theme of just life and learning through this pandemic. What are some of the things that you have learned about yourself personally during this time?
I've surprised myself by realizing how much I actually do need space and quiet time. It really surprises me because I am an extrovert. I'm the social butterfly. I always want to be out and doing, but it's amazed me at how much joy I find in just sitting and reading my book. Like that's changed a lot for me. Taking a bath, going on my walks, like when the children were out of the house at school during the lockdown, my daily walk was essential. And whether it was with a podcast, with a book, or with myself and my thoughts, the daily walk, it's like recharging the battery. I've really surprised myself how much spending time alone really allows you to recharge your battery, clear your thoughts, and reassess what are your priorities.
Well, I mean, that kind of gets into this next question. I think sometimes we think that when we talk about using our voice or claiming our power, it has to be in spaces where we're advocating or, but in the home, right? So I hear you a lot of being able to claim your voice and power within your own home. So how would you encourage other women and girls to confidently use their voice and claim their power no matter where they find themselves?
There's two things that I'm a huge believer in. I am a huge believer in practicing gratitude every day and in meditation. And I think that women will find their voice and their power more easily if they can practice those two things. Because I think that many of us are influenced to believe that our voice or our power is something else than it truly is. And until you can take that time to sit with yourself, whether it's in silence or a guided meditation, and work through, why am I so bothered by this situation? That's when you'll start to find your voice, I think. And by practicing gratitude on the daily and looking around and realizing, thank goodness I've got a healthy mind, body, and soul. I have food in the fridge. I have a roof over my head. Like if you start your day with that, it allows you to think and act with your truest intentions and not somebody else's. I think if women can dig deep into those two things, they'll be able to find their voice and their power and use it in whatever way. I mean, for me this year, it's been setting boundaries. I mean, I do a word each year that kind of is my intention for the year. And last year it was productivity. And I wanted to figure out how I was going to be the most productive person so that I could attract more opportunities into my life. And this year, the word that I set for myself was balance. And it was really trying to figure out, how am I balancing all of these priorities to get the best outcome? And I think that if you can dig deep into your own priorities, then you figure out your balance.
I've been so encouraged by this conversation, and I'm not a mom yet, but I just listening to you and just the perspective that you have and just the passion that you have for your family, I've just been so, just so blessed by it. So thank you, Whitney, for making the time in the midst of so much going on to be on here today and talk with us.
If I could say one last thing that was like my parting words, every time you're stressed out or at a moment where you just don't have the answer, I constantly have to say to myself, what is this going to mean to me in 5 years? I have to remind myself of that so much lately. And I really say, is this a make or break, or am I making this more stressful than it needs to be? And then it helps me make my decision right then and there.
Thank you, Whitney. There are so many points that you raised that I know I will think about for a long time. And I love that question about, will this matter in 5 years? Mm-hmm. And linked to the, or am I making this more stressful than it needs to be? What a great mm-hmm. question. Mm-hmm. Thank you so very much for being with us today. And Yudit, thank you. I always love talking with you in these conversations.
Thank you both. It was such a pleasure to chat.
And to our listeners, we invite you to visit sayitforward.org, a place where you are welcome to share one or more stories about your unique path to empowerment. Or you can read the stories of other women and girls. This is Sharon Catherine D'Agostino
and Yodit Kifle-Smith, signing off for now and hoping you'll join us for our next episode of the Power of Stories podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, we do hope you'll give us a review and recommend the Power of Stories to a friend. And lastly, we want to remind you of the power of your story.